You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
My name is Jen. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is a privilege to get to be with you this morning. In fact, we have an online audience that joins us every week at this time. Can you help me welcome our online audience as well? Whoop, 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 whoop. We love our online audience too. Well, we are in the middle of a mental health, Hope for Mental Health series. And if you missed last week, let me just do a little plug for last week. We had Dr. Brian Pingle with us last week, and he was here, and we live streamed that to our other locations, but he also did a mental health seminar on Saturday. But don't worry if you missed it, because you can literally listen to the podcast of that mental health seminar on our app. If you look at the app, you go down to messages, click messages, and it'll come right up. It's the first thing that pops up there. And so if you miss anything from Dr. Pingle, I encourage you to go back. He gave practical information for parents, especially dealing with mental health, students or our family members. And also, he just was open and raw with his own testimony with his family. So check that out. But today, we are going to be talking about hope for my anxious mind. And I think we all know what anxiety is, right? It's that unease or nervousness or worry that we have over an imminent event or something with an unknown outcome, right? I think we've all kind of experienced that on some level. And you take all of those feelings and all of those emotions, and when that becomes crippling to where it interferes with your daily life, that's another level. That's an anxiety disorder. And today, I'm not really going to be talking about anxiety disorders. We're going to be talking about, you know, anxiety in general. But if you are someone that you know is at that level where it is, you know, inhibiting in everyday life, you know, maybe you drive up to the grocery store and you know it's easy to just walk into that grocery store, but you can't make yourself walk into that grocery store, so you just sit in the parking lot and then you drive home. Or, you know, all of a sudden you have no idea why, but you just can't breathe. And it is a shortness of breath, there's a heaviness, like an elephant standing on your chest. Or maybe it goes to the even point of a panic attack and you pass out or something like that. You know, let me just encourage you. I'm not a professional, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist or anything like that. But when our own daughter was experiencing that level of anxiety, like before, you know, when she was going through all of her stuff, probably started around eighth grade, you know, I just thought it was normal teenage stuff and that she would just kind of grow out of it type thing. And it wasn't until I saw her have a full-blown panic attack and pass out as a result that I was like, oh, this is bigger than what I'm able to handle. And we did seek that outside help. And so let me encourage you to do that. But today we're going to be talking about the kind of anxiety that we have all experienced at some level. You know, when you get that bill that comes in, you're like, how am I going to pay for this, right? When we had three boilers go out in three different locations this last winter, it was like, oh, that created a little bit of anxiety, all right? Or maybe it's, you know, tension with family and you have an event you're going to go to and that family member is going to be at that event. And you're like, oh, how is this going to work out? You know, or maybe you've had to go in for some testing and you're waiting in that little room for that doctor to come in and give you some sort of news. And you're just praying that it's going to go your way, right? That kind of anxiety, I think we can all relate to. And you know, for me personally, when I became a first-time mom, it unlocked a whole nother, like a video game of anxiety. You know, like I thought I knew what worry was, and then I became a mom. And so I literally wrote this scripture down on my mirror so that it would be the first thing I'd see when I brushed my teeth in the morning and the last thing I'd see before I went to bed. And it's Philippians 4:4-6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now here's the kicker right here, right? Do not be anxious about anything. All right? Not about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And this was the part that I just wanted to speak over myself every day. And the peace of God, it's verse 7, so I went a little bit further. Peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Yeah. If you get nothing else out of today's message, I just pray that over you. I pray it over me. That's what we need, because we all find ourselves in these situations that seem a little wonky, a little out of control. And we need the God of all creation to come and guard the way we feel and the way we think with his peace. And so I pray that over all of us, myself included. But there are some stats out there that remind us that we're not alone when we do face anxiety. There's a stat from 2019. Now, this stat is pre-pandemic, pre-COVID. So 2019, the stat is that 2 out of 3 Americans were experiencing some level of anxiety. They were anxious or extremely anxious. I would probably venture to say that's probably a little higher today after the pandemic, right? 91%, this is a current stat, 91% of high school and college age students report consistent and significant levels of anxiety. 91%. Now, that generation that's high school and college age, we've been talking about them for a while. You know, I just got out of youth ministry not too long ago, and we were talking about it when I was still in youth ministry, that Gen Z generation, right? And there were so many articles that came out about Gen Z, even starting when they were hitting middle school, about they are the most anxious generation. And I would think this, any Gen Xers in the room? Yeah, oh wow, we are small but mighty. All right, I'm a Gen Xer, okay? And I often think why our generation isn't one of the most anxious. Now let me give you a couple examples. I was thinking about this the other day. They literally had this little sticker. He was green and he had marked out eyes like he was dead and his mouth went like this, okay? He was called Mr. Green. Mr. Green is mean, and Mr. Green is green. He's green, and he's mean, okay? So I'm not going to show you the video, but it would scar you, okay? Back in the 70s, yes, I am that old. Back in the 70s, they had a video of this Mr. Green that they would show elementary school students, all right? And they would show it on Saturday morning cartoons. All right? And it would tell you of all the things that would kill you in your house. So what they would do is they would say, the teacher would say, children, take these stickers home and give them to your parents and go around the house and mark everything that will kill you in the house. And we just skipped on home and we did it. Wow, look at all the things that could kill me. Wow. All right. So then we also had, how many of you, this may have been more of a broader thing, maybe not just my generation, but had fire safety people come to your classrooms, right? I'm all about fire safety, but I really thought I'd be in more fires than I were, okay? Do you guys remember what they would tell you? If you're in a fire, you should... You guys got it. Stop, drop, and roll. That is still in my head, and it's been a hot minute since I was in elementary school, right? Stop, drop, and roll. Well, today, I'm hoping that I can give you some 3 key words that are just like stop, drop, and roll, but instead of a physical fire, when a mental fire is going off in your head, what do I do when I'm so anxious and I can't turn that off? Because anxiety is not a sin. Everyone say that. Anxiety is not a sin. It's a signal, and it's telling us of something that we should do. Anxiety is not a sin. If it was a sin, then why was Jesus so anxious in the garden to where he sweated blood, you know, drops of blood? I mean, I've never been that anxious before. So it's not a sin, it's a signal. And last week, I loved how Dr. Pingle, he gave this illustration of like what's going on in our mind when we have anxiety. It's like that phone that you have in your pocket that everyone, you know, we're in a crowded room and all of a sudden that phone alarm goes off, right? And it's loud and everybody's looking at you and you pull out your phone and you're pressing it over and over again. You're like, it won't turn off, right? That is what's going on in our mind. It's just a signal. And so when that signal, just like that smoke alarm alerts you that there is a physical fire, when that mental signal alerts you that there's a mental fire, what do? The first thing we do is pray, right? We're going to stop and pray. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she's an author of a book called Switch on Your Brain. She says this in that book. It has been found that 12 minutes of focused prayer for 8 weeks can literally change the extent on your brain that it can be measured on a brain scan, on a CT scan. So 12 minutes of focused prayer for 2 months can literally change the makeup of your brain that it's scientifically proven on a CT scan. I love when science proves what we as Christians already know, that prayer is powerful and it changes things, right? I mean, can you imagine, like, your brain is not fixed. We literally can change the way that we think. You know, it's natural to think about things that go wrong, but what prayer does is it changes the natural pathway. You know, we're kind of almost done with breakup season. Hallelujah, that's pretty great. But when breakup season first starts, you start seeing all these water pathways, right? And maybe you don't like the way the water's draining a little bit. Have you ever, like, gone out there and dug a trench to redirect the water? That's what prayer does. It interrupts that natural what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, all the bad. And when we go and we take it to God, it's like digging a trench and creating another pathway, because we're going to take it to God instead of just staying with it in our brain. We're going to look at an example of an Old Testament king. We're going to talk about him and the example that he gave. Just a second, sorry. And we learn about this King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And so let me just kind of set the scene. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And Judah and Israel are two kingdoms right now. They're split. There's a northern kingdom of Israel. There's a southern kingdom of Judah. And Jehoshaphat is the fourth king of that Judah lower kingdom. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, it describes Jehoshaphat as a good king that was committed to the ways of God. It even compared him to King David. Now, here's a good king doing all the right things, and what we're about to read is something very bad that's about to happen. So you can be doing all the right things, living all the right ways for God, and still we can deal with anxiety. We can have bad things coming at us because we live in a sinful world and bad things happen even to good people. I know that we don't like to think that as Christians, but we are in a sinful world and we can't control everything and everyone around us. But Jesus said, you're gonna have trouble, but I overcame the world. And that's why we take everything to him. But Jehoshaphat, in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, it opens up with these three big armies. And they've decided they're gonna make war against Judah. And they're all marching his way. And in verse 3, it says this: Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to fast. He was terrified. I mean, I would be terrified if I knew that three giant armies were coming into Fairbanks. I mean, that's terrifying, right? What are we gonna do, right? But what did he do? It says that he went to the Lord for guidance. The signal went off, he prayed. He went to the Lord. He goes on and he's praying. In verse 6, it says, the Lord God of our ancestors, are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand and no one can withstand you. I love that statement. God doesn't need to be reminded of who he is. But sometimes we need to remind our spirit who he is. And when we begin to pray and be like, God, you're the God of my ancestors. You're the God of my family. You're the God over Israel. You're God, you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You are Lord of all. And I'm crying out to you. That's who I'm tapping on. Are you God of heaven? Yes, you are. You rule over everything. And he goes on, and in verse 9, it says, if calamity comes upon us, whether sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name. We will cry out to you in distress, and we will hear you, and you will save us. I love that. You ever need to just like pray out loud and build yourself up a little bit? No matter what comes my way, Lord, it may not be good news that I'm about to hear. The what ifs in my mind, they may actually come true. But you know what? I'm crying out to you because I know that you hear me and you can save me. And if you hear nothing else today other than the peace and all that, God hears you and he can save you out of anything that you're facing. And further in verse 12, it says, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't have the power. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And we bring it to God. The signal goes off, we pray. The second thing, signal goes off, we pray, and then we pause. Look what Jehoshaphat did after this grand prayer. We read the first part of verse 12. We're going to read 12 and 13. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men in Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. And they paused. How many times do we take the time to pause in God's presence? Or do we usually get some kind of news or some kind of worry that hits our mind and we're like, don't just stand there, do something, right? Doesn't everyone see that there's a fire going on in my head? We've got to do something, right? But God is asking us sometimes, hey, don't do anything. I just want you to pause. I want you to sit in my presence and I want you to let me speak into that situation. Well, how long do I pause? I don't know. There's not a formula. Well, if I pause long enough, will he heal it? Will he heal me? Will he take away my anxiety? He might. He might immediately. He can. Or in the pause, he might just whisper a reminder of a scripture and you go look it up and you're like, wow, that fits my situation. That speaks right over me. Or he might remind you of a song, you know, or he might be like, you know, maybe you should seek some counseling. There's no shame in it. And you go see a Christian counselor that stands with what you believe and your beliefs and can help you walk through something. Or maybe it's something just as silly as remembering a commercial jingle. We have a pastor on staff, Pastor Mark Futter. His wife was recently diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. So please keep her in prayer. But that's exactly what God did in his life. When they first, she just recently was diagnosed, just a couple weeks ago. And for those of you that have walked this path, it's frustrating when you get a bomb dropped on you of this diagnosis, right? And you're like, okay, I don't want to just stand here. I want to do something. And no one is helping you move the ball forward. They're just hitting roadblock and roadblock and roadblock, and it's getting frustrating. And in the moment of his praying, in the moment of his pausing, God reminded him of a jingle, of a commercial from Cancer Care of America that he had heard years ago when they lived in another state. And it's not even called that anymore, but they still exist under another name. And as a result, he was able to get into these people. They were took all the, like, hey, we got you. We're going to fly you down. We're going to get you a team of people. And by the end of your appointments, you will have a plan. And in that moment, that peace came over Pastor Mark. And you never know how God will answer you and talk to you in the pause. It may not be the way that he wanted. It'd be great if God says, now Anna's healed. I mean, we're believing that. But God can still talk to us and speak to us in the pause. And it may not be the exact way that we think he should, but he always answers us. You know, Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. So many times we want to rush through our time with God and not just sit in his presence. But it starts with God, it's directed by God, and the result is always God. While they were waiting and standing, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 15 and 17. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. That's the same God that spoke over the nation of Judah. He's speaking over you and I today. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God is fighting for you, and he's going to be with you. Sometimes God takes that battle completely off the table. Sometimes you don't even have to go through the battle, but sometimes you still have to go through the battle, but he's going to fight for you, and he's going to be with you. And I'd rather have God, I mean, there's this old song that was like way back in the day, I'd rather have walk in the dark with Jesus than to walk in the light on my own. I mean, that holds true. I'd rather walk in the darkest places with Jesus than try to figure this life out on my own. And that's a promise from the Lord that he's going to be with us. Anxiety is not a sin. It's a signal. And it's warning lights going off right in our brain. And it's telling us to pray. And it's telling us to pause. And the last one is telling us to praise. Jehoshaphat did something very interesting that I probably would not have done. I mean, I'm not a warrior or a battle person by any means, right? But if I'm about to go to battle, I am probably going to recruit some big boys, all right, you know, to go ahead of me and do some fighting. But that's not what Jehoshaphat does. He literally sends out the worship team in front of the battle. In verse 22 and 23, it says, as they began to sing, the Lord set ambushes amongst the army. So picture this, right? You got three big armies coming to do battle. And instead of you going out with your big, guys, you send the worship team ahead of you and everyone's singing. And as that's happening, there's confusion that happens and all the armies actually kill each other. And the people of Judah never even had to fight because God said, I'm going to fight for you. And he did that, right? He did that. You guys remember that song? It came out, a few years ago. Michael W. Smith, I think, was the first one that said it, but other people sang it. But, you know, this is how I fight my battles. Do you remember that? This is how I fight my battles. I'm not a singer. But I love the part where it's like, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I love that. When that song came out, I actually clung to that song because I was kind of going through a yucky, dark time. And, you know, I already kind of shared a little bit with, like, at the beginning about my daughter having anxiety. Well, we didn't know what was going on, okay? My husband and I are youth pastors. You know, my daughter, you know, starts showing signs of major depression even as early as 8th grade and 9th grade and 10th grade and 11th grade and part of 12th grade until she actually found Jesus, you know? But during those times, I had my own mess in my head because as a parent, I felt like I was a failure. As a youth pastor, I felt like I was a failure. And I could not fix her. You know, I could not speak enough words over her. I could not fix her. And so my anxiety level was going up. My depression level was going up. And I felt alone. Because here I am in ministry, and I'm supposed to have it all figured out. And I'm supposed to give advice for other parents. And I don't even know what's going on in my own home. And it was to the point that I wouldn't sleep at night because I would just be woken up with fear that something bad happened. And I would go check on her. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is she still with us, you know? And when that song came out, this is how I fight my battles, I had something went off in my head. I've got to change the battlefield here. And so I started doing just what I'm telling you. I prayed, I paused, and I praised. And what that looked like, you know, practically is we had made this prayer room at our church that we were at for the youth. And I knew no one was up there late at night and no one was up there early in the morning. So what I did is I would grab my phone with my praise and worship list. I would grab my Bible and my journal and I'd go up there and I would blast music because no one's there. And I would pray. I would pray to the Lord. I would yell at the devil, tell him what I thought, you know? And I was doing some warfare praying in that room because I was fighting for not only my own, what was going on here, but I was fighting for my kid. And I was so mad at the enemy. So I'd tell him how mad and how he was defeated. And then I would pause and I would just let God just speak over me and remind me of who he is and how there's nothing too difficult for him and how the God that created me is a God created her and he loves her and he knows exactly what to do and how to fix her. And I would pray, and I would pause, and I would praise like no other. And then sometimes that dark room wouldn't do it for me. So I'd grab my hammock and my Bible and my journal. And when my husband Matt would see me with those things in my hand, he would know not to ask, when you coming back? I'm going out the road into the woods, and I'm not coming back until I feel like I have touched the hand of God. And you know what? I would go out and hang my hammock, and I'd pray, and I'd pause, and I'd praise. And you know, just like when you work out, right, and you don't want to, but you do it, and then you feel better afterwards. I know some of you may not understand that, but but it does, I promise. You know, I didn't feel like doing it. Believe me, I was mad, I was angry, I wanted to give up, I didn't want to be in ministry anymore. I can tell you that. I mean, how can I take all these kids to camp and my own daughter doesn't believe anything that I'm saying? And she's so broken, and I'm praying over these kids. I can't pray over my daughter. She won't go up to the altar, you know? I mean, I'm praying over her. She don't know I'm praying over her, but I'm praying over her, right? But it was a process for me, right? And so things aren't gonna change. They might. God may, like, take that anxiety like that, and you'll never have to deal with it again. Chances are you're gonna, because we live in a broken and fallen world, and even if you don't deal with it on that level, what I'm describing, you're gonna deal with it. And what is our go-to? What is it? We don't always feel like going to God, but we go to Him, and we pray, and we pause, and we praise, and we do that cycle as many times as we need to do it until we convince our spirit what the truth already is that God sees us, He hears us, He's gonna do battle for us. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. We need to speak those things over ourselves, over our situation, until we do allow the peace of God to come over and change the way we feel in our heart and in our mind. And so I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if maybe you've never given anything to God. Maybe you've been like, I don't need to worry God with my little problem. Yeah, remember, it says that we read it earlier. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. He does. He cares about the smallest things. He cares about the biggest things. He cares. So I don't know if you've never even tried to give Him something. Maybe you thought that was your personality. You know, I've heard that. This is just the way I am. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to live in that way anymore. Maybe we should try to give it to Him, right? And so we say it every week, right, when it comes to salvation. Coming to Jesus, coming to God is as easy as A, B, C. And that principle still applies to any time that we're going through anything. It's as easy as A, B, C. We admit that I can't do it on my own. I need someone to come in and do this for me. I need a Savior. And then B, I believe Jesus is the only one who died for my sins, and He bore all of my sicknesses, mental, physical. He bore it all on the cross. And if anyone can relate to where we're at, Jesus Christ Himself walked as a human. He felt every emotion that you have felt. He's walked through every disappointment, had to watch a friend die, right? Seeing people reject Him. He sweat drops of blood because He was so anxious about going to the cross. Right? He can relate to us. We have a Lord and Savior who can relate to you and I. So we can believe Him, and then we can confess that He is Lord, confess that we're making Him Lord, confess that I'm giving this situation to you. Father, I'm giving you myself from my head to my toes. Heal me from the inside out. Take away every anxious thought that I have. Remind me who you are. Remind me of your word. Help me to pause in your presence. And we give it to Him. So this week, when you have a tendency, right, to go to those old pathways, dig that trench, start a new pathway. And remember, just as easy as when we, you know, are in a physical fire, stop, drop, and roll, we're gonna pray, we're gonna pause, and we're gonna praise. That's our formula to getting through it, right? Let me pray over you. God, we thank you so much that we can bring every need and every problem that we have and lay it at your feet. We thank you that we can pray to you. We know that you hear us. We know that you see us, and we know that you understand what we're going through, God. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for loving us just the way we are, God, and thank you for making us more like you the more that we spend time with you. God, I thank you that we're not stuck. We're not stuck even in the way that we think. God, you can change our mind by the renewing of your word every day. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you've given us everything we need for life and for godliness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.